Hey y'all, thanks for tuning in to Girl Talk at the Dan Gable Museum. On this week's episode, we had the opportunity to sit down with Lauren Burrows. She is Jordan Burrows' wife. Jordan was a 2012 Olympic gold medalist, five-time world champion, and has 189 international wins. I hope you guys enjoy.
Hey guys, we're here with Lauren Burrows. And she's Jordan Burrows' wife, in case you've been living under a rock and don't know who she is. Okay, Lauren. Okay, Lauren, how did you and Jordan meet?
We met, actually, my three brothers wrestled, and one of my brothers wrestled in college. Well, actually, they all wrestled in college, but the one... one of them made it to the NCAA tournament the same year that Jordan won it his senior year. So it was 2011, and we were going to watch my brother, and I ended up seeing Jordan, and long story short, I added him on Facebook. I saw him wrestle in the early rounds, and I was like, oh, he's cute. And I just thought, he was a really great wrestler, and when I went home, I added him on Facebook, and so the story goes, he said that he didn't get many friend requests from attractive young ladies, and they were mostly wrestling fans, so he was pretty excited and hit me up and messaged me, and we chatted for a while, just as friends, and I think it had to be a year later or so, he did a wrestling camp in Buffalo, New York, where I'm from. So he came up and he sent me a message and asked if I wanted to meet up with him. And I did. And so that was like our first meeting, I guess. It's not like a traditional meeting where people just run into each other and meet. We kind of planned our meeting and met that way. And we ended up meeting. He was in town doing a wrestling camp and we met at a restaurant and kind of just talked for a little bit, and we were just friends for a long time, and when things worked out, another year or so later, we started dating, and then we were married like 6 months later.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing. I love how you friended him on Facebook, and that's kind of how you guys started. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's like such a generational story, I feel like. That wasn't the story of our parents, but, you know, nowadays a lot of people are linking up on social media. And actually, I told him, I was like, I just had a ton of pride, and I never friended people on Facebook, especially men. But I don't know, for some reason, it must have been fate. For some reason, I was like, I'm going to friend this guy. And he's like, yeah, right, you probably did that all the time. I was like, no, I actually didn't. So it's a big joke. The story of our meeting gets asked all the time, and it's like a fight. It was like a fight between me and Jordan, because he wants to act like I totally went out of my way to meet him, and that is not the fully accurate story. So it creates some funny conversation.
I love that. And like you said, it is definitely a generational thing, because a lot of the wives who I have interviewed, they all connected with their significant other through Facebook as well. So I'm loving it.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. Like, I feel like you can connect with people who you have a lot in common with, but who you might not have ever just randomly met in person. I mean, to think that we could have just, it's hard to believe that we would have never met, though, because I come from a wrestling family, and one of my brothers wrestled at Arizona State. So his teammates were wrestling Jordan in college. And then my other brother wrestled in New York, and my other brother wrestled at American in DC. So like everyone knew everyone, but you know, wrestling, as you know, is a very small community. So you get linked up with people really quickly.
You are so correct about that. And speaking of your wrestling background, you say that you grew up around wrestling. What is one of your first memories being on the mat, being around the mat, I should say?
I think some of my earliest memories in wrestling, I have so many. Like, my dad was our high school coach. He was our youth coach. He was the club coach. He ended up being, like, taking cadet and senior teams to Fargo in the summer. So, like, it was just my life growing up. My twin brothers are a year younger than me, and they started wrestling at 5. So I was 6 then, and my youngest brother had been 4, was 4 at the time. So we were, you know, we were thrust into wrestling very easily and very early. And my dad didn't like force me to wrestle or anything, but I was just, because of the fact that he was the coach and my 3 brothers were around it, I was in the room all the time. And, you know, it just so happened I had 3 brothers and one of them always needed a training partner. So I was my younger brother's training partner while my twin brothers wrestled with each other. So I was in the room all the time. And I just remember being very little and being on the mats. And then we would go to tournaments and we'd be sitting in the stands all day. And I never competed. You know, I've said this in a few interviews before, but, like, you know, when I was growing up, which, you know, is crazy because it's like 20 years ago now, women's wrestling was not, you know, as acceptable as it is now. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm going to throw my little girl in wrestling. Like, if you were if you were enrolling your young girl in wrestling, like, there were conversations to be had. And I'm sure there still are. You know, she's going to go through a lot of stuff. And my dad just wasn't prepared to have me do that at that time. So I played other sports, but I was in the practice room constantly. And we had mats in my basement. And my dad would hold practices after school, and I was always a partner. So I didn't compete, but I know, you know, I know my Granby roll and my double leg takedown pretty well.
Heck yes, I love that. And I like how you say that women's wrestling wasn't what it is today. Thank goodness it is huge today, but it was almost taboo to put your daughter.
Right. It's exactly what it was.
Yep. Into wrestling boys. I know that feeling all too well. So what was your dad's reaction to you and Jordan dating?
I mean, I think at first it was the reaction that any dad would have if, you know, when your daughter, I was 23 at the time, so I was a young woman, but, you know, it's just the same thing. Like, I want to know what kind of guy this is. I want to make sure he's going to treat you right and all that. But we had been friends for a while, and Jordan had come to visit me, so he had gotten a little bit of a chance to know him. And I think part of it was exciting because my dad is, like, loves wrestling, you know, as much as anyone I know. And actually, when I sat in the stands, and I feel like everyone knows the story by now, but when I sat in the stands to watch my brother wrestle, and I ended up seeing Jordan at that NCAA tournament in 2011, my dad had pointed out Jordan, and he was like, "You got to watch this guy. I've watched him all season. He's gonna win this tournament easy, and he's gonna win an Olympic gold medal." And my dad said that in 2011. And Jordan hadn't even won a world championship at that point. So for my dad to say that, and I sent it to Jordan, and Jordan knows it's true because when we first started talking on Facebook a few months after that, I told him that. I said, you know, it's not a big deal to me, but my dad has, you know, my dad thinks a lot of your abilities as a wrestler. And, you know, he told me when we were watching NCAA that you're going to win a gold medal. And he was like, he responded back and he was like, "I hope your dad's right." So it's absolutely crazy. But like I said, my dad knew wrestling really well. He studied freestyle his whole life and Greco. And he kind of knew that Jordan's skills would translate to freestyle really well. But it's always like such a crazy story. We talk about it all the time. So at the same time, my dad was, you know, like, take care of my daughter, but I think he also thought it was pretty cool that I was dating someone who loved something as much as he did. So he finally found someone, and he gained a 4th son, and it's been pretty cool. They have a great relationship.
I love that. That is such an amazing story. I can't wait for you guys to be able to tell your kids when they're old enough to understand that grandpa totally called dad winning an Olympic gold medal. I mean, that is.
Yeah, good. He did.
That
he
is
did.
Awesome.
It was pretty nuts. It was pretty nuts. He said at our wedding, my dad gave a speech at our wedding, and he was like, you know, I love my sons, but he's like, I always dreamed of having like an Olympic gold medalist as a son. And, you know, now I do. It's just a little differently. Just a little different than I pictured.
I love that, though. That is so amazing. I love that your dad just had an eye for it to see it as a coach.
Yeah.
That I can imagine that family functions are centered around wrestling with your family. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. They're always putting Jordan and, you know, trying to take takedowns on him and wrestling around on the floor. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. My brothers and my husband get along very well. Wrestlers kind of all flock together. So it's been an awesome thing to kind of watch their relationship grow. So
To be a fly on the wall during those family functions when they're trying to get takedowns on him, that's
nobody comes close, but it's a big joke.
I love it. So Jordan has become one of the faces of wrestling, not just in the United States, but all over the world. How has y'all's life changed as his popularity and credentials have grown?
You know, it hasn't been the beauty of wrestling during this time is that he's mobbed at wrestling events, but it's not like we walk down the street and, you know, he's getting mobbed anywhere else, and especially not in Lincoln, Nebraska. So life hasn't really changed a whole lot, you know, everyday life. It's not like he's, you know, getting stopped like some of these, like LeBron James can go anywhere, I would imagine. But, and we like that. We think it's such a beautiful combination of things. You know, we at wrestling events, he feels so loved, and we all feel so loved. It's not even just him. Like, our family gets so much love and respect. And then I think around the world, especially in, you know, places like Milan and Russia, there's such a level of respect that these high-level wrestlers share. And I think Jordan's been around so long that, you know, it's just really cool to see how people respond to him and how people treat our family. And so I try to, you know, the long days and the days where there's lots of autographs and photos being asked of him, I always used to say early in our marriage when he would, those days are long, and sometimes you can lose perspective very quickly. And I always used to say to him, like, well, there could be nobody waiting in line for you, and nobody could want your picture, and nobody could want to buy your shoes. And then very quickly you gain perspective. Like, all these people waiting in line, they're the same people that are paying to buy your shoes or, you know, paying to be at your camp. And I think a lot of times in, you know, with celebrities and high-level athletes, it's very easy to lose sight of that when everyone wants your time. So it's a delicate balance, but I think we always try to lean on the side of perspective and gratitude.
That is a beautiful insight, and I love how you described it as love, that you guys are feeling all this love from everybody in the community. That's really beautiful.
Yeah, I think social media is really aided in connecting fans with, you know, their role models. And I like to kind of see it as a relationship. Like, it's, you know, it's a two-sided relationship. It isn't like these fans just love us and you don't, and Jordan doesn't, like, love, you know, the admiration, the affection that he receives from them. It's a really special thing, and we try to just really take it in and soak it up, because it doesn't last forever. You know, unless you're Dan Gable and you're, you know, you're still getting mobbed at NCAA tournaments for years to come, which I'm sure we'll have a little bit of that too. But, you know, you really have to appreciate it while you're in it because it goes by so fast. I mean, it's been almost a decade that Jordan's been wrestling internationally. It's crazy.
Oh, I can imagine. And I definitely feel for certain, that Jordan will have the same reactions that Dan still gets when he's Dan's age.
And Dan's such a, he's so great. I see him all the time and I'm just like, yeah, he's just got so much patience. He's just such a wrestler through and through. And I feel like he's done a great job of navigating that as well.
Oh, absolutely. He is one of the most down-to-earth people that you will ever meet. Okay, so speaking of fun moments and hard moments, what's one of the hardest moments for you that you've had to watch Jordan go through as a significant other?
You know, Jordan is pretty much an open book, so I feel like what everyone has – I feel like anyone who has seen Jordan or been a fan of him would be able to answer this question because he's been so transparent. And I think Rio was, I think that's been the hardest thing it was the hardest thing. And it's still a little bit difficult. Some days are easier than others and harder than others when you think about Rio or when you have to talk about it, and especially now with the upcoming Olympics. I feel like a lot of the media and just the Olympic community wants to call what Jordan called this 2020, the road to 2020, as like this redemption tour. And I just don't think it's not that for him. It's not that for us. And I think as the Olympic trials get closer, you kind of have to fight that. Because people want to create this storyline for you that isn't necessarily genuine or fully accurate. So as hard as Rio was, I mean, Rio, to answer your question, Rio was definitely the hardest thing to get through. For 4 years, you kind of put this one event, this one day on a pedestal, and you set it there, and everything you do and everything around it is to try to work and achieve this one thing. And sometimes the hardest part of not achieving that thing isn't necessarily the loss of it, but in dealing with the truth that it might have not been for you. Like that's just not something that God had for you at that moment in your life. And I think sometimes that's the hard part, accepting that and dealing with that and moving forward. And not only moving forward, but moving forward knowing that you're going to do it again. And, you know, it could be for you this time or it could not be for you this time. And you need to commit yourself to the journey and not just the destination. Because the truth is you might not ever get to that destination. And that's life. That's anything in life. That's just dealing with committing yourself to something every single day, no matter what the outcome is. It's because really you don't know the outcome. None of us do. So I think, that's something that people deal with in life, but especially athletes. And for Olympic athletes, it's a lot harder because it's not like a Super Bowl that comes around every year or a World Series or a Stanley Cup. It's something that's every 4 years. And you really have to fight that thought that only that Olympic gold matters, because the truth is it doesn't. Truth is there's a world championship every year. There's medals of different colors that represent a whole lot of things. And there's events you're going to get to that are going to be a lot tougher than what it's going to take to win that Olympic gold. And there's a lot of tangibles and variables that go into there that you have no control over. So Rio, as hard as it was very eye-opening, and it gave us a ton of perspective and a ton of depth. And I think it allowed Jordan to become a lot more relatable. You know, Rio was the first tournament that there wasn't like a reason. There wasn't like a very easy storyline that could have been put behind it. Like, this is why he lost. In in 2014, he sprained his knee in the semis. I think it was the semis when he was wrestling Sargoosh, and he lost. And it was like, everyone was like, oh, well, he was hurt. He was hurt. And then he won in 2015, and everybody was like, oh, okay, this is Jordan Burroughs. He's back. And then going into 2016, it was like he had only had two losses. He only had two losses, and they were, you know, very easy for people to write off. And then when Rio happened, I think it was him dealing with the loss, him dealing with the loss of a four-year cycle in his mind, and then also like, man, this is the first time I actually lost, and there's nothing to really bank it on. Like, it's not like, oh, I was hurt, or, oh, I didn't know I was losing. You know, it was the first time he really had to come head-to-head with reality, the reality that you can't win them all. You really can't. And especially when you do it for 10 years, you're not going to win them all. So Rio was by far the hardest obstacle for us to get past. But also, I can't imagine it not being part of our story now. So it's funny how that happened.
Right. The perspective that you guys took away from that, I think, is just phenomenal. How you said, you know, it just wasn't in the plans, and that's okay. But it doesn't mean that he's still not working hard every day to try and make 2020 in the plans.
Right. And to try to make sure that all the days between 2016 and 2020 matter, and they mean something to you. Because when it doesn't go your way, you still have to learn to appreciate that life between those two Olympic games mattered. And and they mattered to a lot more people than just yourself. It mattered to the wrestlers you came into contact, to the people you brought along the journey, to your family, to your friends, to the fans. Like, and I think Jordan's done an amazing job of becoming, you know, a really incredible role model, you know, between Rio and now, even before Rio. But, you know, he knows that people listen to him whether or not he's on a podium, and that's been super important to us.
Absolutely, because he's more than just a wrestler, and he preaches that. He doesn't just talk about it, he does it as well. Like, you can see it in his actions, and I think that's part of what makes Jordan such an icon in the sport, because he doesn't just say it, he does it too. And it's beautiful to watch.
For sure.
So you guys have got three young kids, Beacon, Aura, and Rye. And those are some beautifully unique names. How did you guys decide on
Thank
them?
Thank you. So it's just one by one, just, you know, with Beacon, we wanted something very symbolic, and we wanted something to start with a B, because, you know, he's going to have the name Beacon Burroughs forever. So we just thought it would be really cool if he had some alliteration in his name. And Jordan actually came home one day, and I don't know where he heard Beacon, or just came up in his head, or he read it or whatever, but he's like, what do you think of Beacon? And I was like, that's really cool. And we kind of thought about it for a while, and we made the mistake of telling our family members with our first child, and they were like, Beacon, everyone's gonna call him Bacon. And it was just, they were like, how are you gonna, this was almost 6 years ago, and we didn't really hear a lot of names even 6 years ago that were like, you know, just symbolic words. It was more like, well, why wouldn't you name something traditional? So, but we loved it, and we named him that, and we just wanted him to be like a light, and, you know, what a beacon represents. And and then with my daughter, Aura, I'm Hispanic, so my mom's Mexican and Spanish, and I have a very, like, American name. Like, Lauren isn't Hispanic, and I always wished that when I was growing up I had something to kind of connect me with that part of my story and my background. And so I said, when I have a daughter, I want to name her something Hispanic, or something that means something in the Spanish language. And Aura, it translates as she prays. So that was really special to me and really important. But Oro in Spanish means gold. So we kind of just like said, hey, this has two cool meaning stuff. Like, we'll make it a feminine sounding name. And Jordan was not really a big fan of it because he's very, like, American. Like, let's have an American name, English name. And well, I think after two natural births, he watched, he was like, name her whatever you want. He was like, I just saw what you went through. You can choose a name. So he kind of lost that battle. And then with Rise, I told him, like, I want to make sure this time you really appreciate her name and you really love it. And so he started thinking of names really early. We had a girl name and a boy name picked out. And Rise was actually the song for the 2016 Olympics by Katy Perry. And there was the name of the song is Rise, and there was a music video that was put together. You can find it on YouTube, but it's with that song, and it's a bunch of clips of Olympians and just, you know, like symbolizing how difficult the Olympic journey is and just sports in general and things you have to rise up from and overcome. And Jordan was, he was one of the athletes that was in the music video, and one of the clips, I think it was from London, and he was like, you know, he mentioned the name to me and was like, what if it's a girl? Like, would you like Rise? And I was like, yeah, that's really cool and really unique. And then when she was born, we had music on and that song was playing as she was coming out. So he was like, I think we're just going to have to name her this.
That is
so
awesome.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was really crazy. And then like 10 minutes after she was born, there was this beautiful sunrise out the window. It was like totally meant to be.
Yeah, that is fate right there.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you for that background, because those are seriously such beautiful names, and hearing the meaning behind them makes them that much more beautiful.
Yeah, we love them. We love them. Thank you.
Uh-huh. So Beacon and Aura, they are gorgeous. If people have not seen pictures of them, you need to go check them out. They've got a presence on social media already.
Oh, yeah. And I always tell people, they're like, they're so cute. And I'm like, well, they make up for their cuteness and their feistiness and their personalities because they're crazy. So they're crazy. They're as crazy as they are cute.
I love it. So speaking of their personalities, what are some differences in their personalities?
Oh, a lot. So Beacon is very needy. Like, he wants me around all the time. I mean, they both do, but he wants me to, like, get on the ground and play with him. And he doesn't really play by himself very well. Like, he wants somebody to engage with him at all times. He doesn't like being alone. And he there's some kids that like to do their own thing. He doesn't like to do his own thing. He wants you to be involved in what he's doing. And he's very, like, detail-oriented. There's steps to a process he follows. And, you know, I think a lot of first kids are like that. He's a leader, but he wants to, like, force my daughter to, like, follow him and, like, let him lead her. And she's a lot like me. She's very, like, strong-willed and wants to do things her way, and she does not want to be led. She wants to lead the way and run the show. And she is, but then again, they're best friends. Like, they'll fight, but they play all day. We allow them to sleep in the same bed together, and we'll put them to bed, and like an hour later, we hear them like having conversations with each other, like they're adults up there. So
that's so sweet.
Yes, and she's, like, very into traditional female things, like dresses and makeup, but then, like, she will go at it with him. Like, they will wrestle on the basement floor, and, you know, she's not crying, and she's, you know, unless she really hits it hard, she's up with him and rolling around, and she likes to have fun with him, too. So I think he's a little bit more emotional, and she's more of, like, what you see is what you get, and I'm going to tough it out. But he's, you know, they have, their personalities are just so multifaceted, so I could go on forever, but that's them in a nutshell.
I love it. I love how she is tough as nails and keeps going and wants to get out there and wrestle with them.
Yeah, she loves wrestling. I think Beacon loves wrestling so much. He goes to practice a lot with Jordan, and he really, really likes to just take it all in, watch the matches, and talk to Jordan about it and learn things. And she's more like, is this what we're doing? Because I'll go hard with you. She's just like, but if you want to come do my makeup, that's cool too.
I love it. She can play dress up and go wrestle and hang with the boys if she wants to.
Yeah, she can.
That is awesome. So back to Jordan, what is something that most people don't know about him?
This is always hard, this question, because he's such an open book and he's so transparent about things that, like, I feel like a lot of people know everything about him. He's goofy. He's really silly. Here's something somebody might not know. He can, like, listen to a song, and he can listen to it, like, two or three times, and he'll know all the words to it. He's really good at memorizing lyrics, and he's got an excellent just memory in general. He'll remember stories from, like, when he was, like, 4 years old, 5 years old in preschool, and he'll tell me, like, a full story that happened with another kid, and he'll know the kid's name. Like, he's got a really good memory.
That's crazy. I can't remember friends' names.
I know.
From preschool.
Me either. I can't remember a lot of things, and he's got a great memory.
That is awesome. And I like how he can know the lyrics of a song for listening to it just a couple of times.
Yep, he's good at that. That's one of his secret strengths, I guess.
I love it. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lauren. We appreciate you sharing a little bit of y'all's story with us.
Yeah, for sure. I'm happy to be on, and I really appreciate the time.